Lord God, through Jesus, you've made all things new. I ask that those who are desperate for some joy could be surprised, even today, that your joy could touch them. Awaken our senses, Lord, to joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things about Advent is that it has some really strong passages, and today is one. John, can you imagine? They don't teach you this in preaching, right? Do you think he pointed at people when he said, "You brood of vipers"? It's strong words, is it not? Very strong. And he said, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Repentance is seen, at least it has been by me, as something negative. But it's like this. I was in a strange city a week ago. We were looking for a church. We were going to a friend's father's memorial service. And because I didn't want roaming charges, when we were on Wi-Fi, I checked out the MapQuest, right? And then I wrote it down. It was Google Maps. I can't remember. So I wrote it down, but I failed to get all the details, like how far on a road. Do you know what I mean? I had all the directions, but as a result, I missed a turn. And I went 7-8 miles too far. And after a while, we just said, this is nuts, right? So what did I do? I repented. I stopped the car. I turned around. I got on data. I started roaming. Found the right way. And sure enough, I had missed the turnoff. And so we backtracked 8 miles. That's repentance. It's stopping when you become aware that you're going in the wrong direction. It means pulling over, whatever that might mean to you, but stopping and considering, reconsidering your direction. Once you've got the good way, you turn around and go back to the point of departure and then continue on your journey. Repent. Repent, John said. It's interesting that he said, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. There's a friend of mine, and she told me about an issue she has with her back. And she says that gravity has had its effect on her and has made the condition she has worse over time. So she's been given exercises to do. Exercises we should all do. Guess what? Right? How many of us slouch? Right? We all need to do that. Especially if we have any screens in front of us. You tend to go. So for her, she is called to do exercises in keeping with getting stronger. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Get stronger, have better posture, less pain, as you do what you should do to correct the problem. It's the same thing. So it's a very positive message. It's very positive. I hope that we could hear it as a positive message. The word is to bear fruit. Again, in keeping with this attitude of whenever I depart from the way, I'll stop and I'll return. If I'm feeling distance with my partner because of hurt, either expressed or received, I won't continue in that distance. I will stop. And say, you know what, I was hurt when you said that. Or I will stop and say, will you forgive me? I think I might have hurt you when I said what I did, right? We'll stop and we'll try to shorten that time between realizing we're off course and repenting, stopping and returning. One thing I've tried to give up for Advent is being bugged. Stuff bugs me, right? Stuff bugs probably all of us, whether it's in traffic or at home or stuff that's beyond my control. And sometimes I get bugged and I hold on to it. And I've just said, no, let go of it. And it's really been good. It's better. I'm probably nicer to be around as well. Because when I get bugged and you bug me again, guess what? I get all cranky. So I'm trying to be bugged less. Just give it up. I repent. I realize I'm bugged. I realize I'm holding on to it. And I just let it go. At least I try. and I've had some success. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I learned something last summer. I was on Hornby Island, and we spend quite a bit of time there. And one thing I love about Hornby, especially late in the summer, is all the fruit. Free fruit. Say that real fast three times. Free fruit. Free fruit. Blackberries everywhere, right? Just everywhere. But there's also a couple old orchards that are left to, there's no fence any longer, and the house is knocked down. So there's green plums, there's purple plums, and there's apples. There's apple trees kind of all over the island. And I always keep an eye out for an apple tree that hasn't been picked over. And last summer we were on our bikes, it was easier, pulled over, just had this beautiful apple. You know when it's a good apple, don't you? Really good. But often, I'll try an apple, and it's awful. I spit it out, throw it away. It looks like an apple. It's usually misshapen. It's usually small, but I figure, what the heck, I'll eat a small apple. But they're not good. So I was at the farmer's market, and I asked a woman who was selling apples. I told her about my problem, my predicament. She goes, oh, that's simple. Those apples, she said, have started to grow from seeds. Someone has thrown out an apple, or a bird dropped a seed, or whatever. But apples don't grow that way. Apples need to be grafted in. They need to be cultivated. And she goes, the apples you've been eating, or the ones that haven't been good, they haven't been growing true to form. They're a type of apple, but they haven't grown true to form. And I thought, wow. And I thought about the Christian life. How many of us have the outward appearance, you know, but just lack the... What is it about a good apple? Little tart, firm, juicy, refreshing. Just love it. So, the Christian life. How many of us might lack that zing, the pop, the shine, the crispness? If you like tart, you know what I'm saying, just that sweet spot with an apple. When you eat it, you know it. You just know it. How can that we be restored to that if we've lost it? Or come to faith, come to Jesus, and be born again by water and the Spirit. What a great season to do that, to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And so what does it look like for the Christian to live true to form? Well, one of the things that I've heard is that's central, and we know it well, and this time of year, we're reminded of it time and time again to the degree that some of us are tired of hearing it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you have two coats, you share one. If you have food, you share that with those who are needy. And that's 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. And if we get tired of that, we turn to the Lord. And we're reminded that the Lord, our God, is in our midst. And so it raises our game. Just like if an excellent hockey player is on a line, it makes the, let's say, a center. You get some, you know, excellent center player. And the wings are better because of the centerman. Or if it's a great right winger, the center and left winger look better because the skilled player is in the midst of them. And so we celebrate this God in our midst made known to us in Jesus Christ. Not far off, not some skilled player in the box giving you direction. You don't do that. No, you get on the ice and you mix it up. And that's what God has done in Jesus. And he helps us raise our game. He helps us to repent and return to the Lord because we want to be in the game. We want to be part of it. He helps us bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And as we do, we experience joy. I think that's the heart of joy. God gives us joy whenever he wants, but I believe that that's the heart of joy. I heard someone say this church does a lot of outreach and does a lot of hospitality. And I heard a woman say, yeah, it was a lot of work, but I had a blast. She was part of serving a meal, and she said, it was a lot of work, but I had a blast. I had so much fun. And that's the joy. That is it. That is, I won't take another bite because it's hard to talk, but that's living true to form. That's the litmus of it. And my friend who's doing exercises to make her back stronger, that freedom of pain is part of that living true to form. We do what we're called to do, to cooperate with God, to move ahead, to expand the vision, to deepen the mission, and to move out with greater conviction, with greater generosity, with greater love. We've done that, and we're doing that with our rectory. That's the house attached to the church. We've extended that rectory to an organization that supports families. And so, some have said, and I think quite rightly they've asked this question, we're renting that at below market value. And we're in a deficit position. Is that really the prudent thing to do? I think it's a really good question, and we've considered it very carefully. But we feel like we have this house, and it's like having two coats, and we want to share it with others. And so there are many benefiting from that one house. And I believe that the call from Zephaniah is being lived out over there. I don't know, but I just believe it is, and it's my prayer. That the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. And families are getting perhaps a little space and to move ahead. Coming out from under judgments, perhaps. He has turned away your enemies. A little space, a little breathing room. And we're praying that they would know that the Lord is in their midst. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on the day of festival. Can you see yourself in the embrace of God and in Jesus? And Jesus laughing and singing over you? Some of us would go, that'd be a little embarrassing. But what a beautiful image. God exults over us with loud singing as on the day of festival. I will remove disaster from you. Give you a little breathing room from the disaster that's all around. I will deal with your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcasts. So the weak, there's a way made for them. Those who don't consider themselves part, I will include you too, God says. I will change. He changes our shame into praise. At that time, I will bring you home. At the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised. May this rectory provide a home for many and be part of our extension of ministry and hospitality. And may God bring us joy. I don't even worry about that. In the meantime, we bear fruit in keeping with repentance. When we get off track, we get back on track and move forward. And we rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. So this Advent, that's my prayer. Today we focus on joy, and even the candle is a different color for this Sunday. May God's gift of joy be among us and be with our neighbors and all with whom we come in contact. Let's live true to form, friends, right? It's going to be hard for me not to eat the rest of my apple because it is so good. Oh, it's good.